This is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy. Hello, VFN family. Well, I'm Brother Greg. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 42, we're going to be talking about something very, very important to the Lord, something the Word of God tells us, and it's going to be about actually dealing with lies, you know, that what God says about lies. And, you know, we think about a childhood rhyme, you know, little children go things, when I was growing up, they would say things like, you know, liar, liar, your pants are on fire. We're going to find out that they were pretty wise in what they were saying. But first, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that where the enemies come in possibly and lie to some of us and told us something that is not true, that you are the truth, that your word shines light on our life and lets us know what's this and what's that. And it divides the thought and intent and the attitudes of the heart, that it's living, it's active. And your word just reveals to us, God, what we need to do in our life. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just speak to everyone in the hearing and the seeing and the listening of this word, Father God, to do what is right before you, Father God, in this area. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I mean, have you ever heard the little children, they're talking? It's back when I was a young cat. They would say things like, liar, liar, your pants are on fire. But you know what, Word of God, we're going to find out what the Word of God says. The Word of God tells us, you know, that all liars, say that with me, all liars' place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. He's telling us that all liars go to hell. I mean, that's why we need to pay attention to this. So really the nursery rhyme would be more like this. What? Liar, liar, your soul is on fire, right? So we're going to be talking about revealing and dealing with any lying spirit that has worked its way into our lives or into the church, or, you know, begin to discern the spirit, this adversarial spirit towards the things of God. So you think about it, it's from the mouth of babes. We've been understood now from this rhyme that it's pretty important that not only will our pants be on fire, but our soul will be on fire if we choose to live a life as a liar. Look at John chapter 8. We're going to talk about first the nature of Satan. You have the nature of God and you have the nature of Satan, which is just the character of who they are. And first of all, we find out about what Jesus says about Satan in John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus says this. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, and he's talking to the religious people of that day. He says, if God was your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? And you'll find out that people who have a lying spirit, that are just liars, that they're never clear in their speech. And when you talk to them, it's just everything's twisted. And he says, why isn't my language clear to you? I mean, this is clear as day. He says, this is the reason why. He says, because you're unable to hear what I'm saying. Verse 44, he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out his desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, Jesus said, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and he's the father of lies. You see what I'm saying? There's no truth in Satan. So when we partner with a lie, when we say something that is not true in any form, in any fashion, we're partnering with the father of lies. And he's saying, listen, the reason why you're lying to me and you can't hear me because you're listening to your father, all right, but your father's the devil. Because that's his native language. That's the character of Satan, as one to lie. Verse 45, he says, yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? For I'm telling you the truth. Why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what I say. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And he's saying you belong to Satan. You know, we know real quick to say this is sin and that is sin and this is sin. But we're going to find out about the Cretans, that Paul talks about the Cretans in Titus when he's talking to his spiritual son Titus. And he's talking about, he says, listen, these dudes, they're just liars. That's what he said. He said it's said of them that they're liars, and this is true. And it's like there's a spirit over the land that, you know, you vote a politician into office and he sits and she sits and she looks at you square in the eye and she said, this is what I'm going to do. But when they get to the leadership place of Washington, D.C., all of a sudden they're doing something totally opposite of that. And then they show back up to their local areas and they explain to them why they're doing something different than what they said. It's like, but isn't that a lie? Didn't you just lie to us? And it's like so many different areas, not just the politicians. I'm talking about pastors and ministry leaders. I'm talking about people who call themselves Christians that are men and women, husbands and wives and children. And I mean, it's amazing. The clergy lying. It's like, we got to stop this. This should not be amongst us. No more should sexual immorality be a part of us, as lying should not be a part of us. So he says right up front, he says that the truth is not even in Satan. When he lies, he speaks his natural language. Have you ever talked to some of those people before that when they talk, it's like, you lie so well. I want to believe you. You know, I remember one time that I was in law enforcement and I was working in a particular precinct and I went out and I saw this car in the middle of the soccer field and it was smoke coming up from it and the pistons were knocking and somebody had took a car and just ran all up down the soccer field and just, you know, messed it all up, spinning the tires, spinning the car around and stuff. And there's nobody out there. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning and this one guy's walking up to me. And I said to him, because he wasn't in the car when I was there, but he was between me and that car walk. I said, did you do this? He looks me square in the face. And he says, no. And I said, but you know, we're the only ones out here. And you smell like smoke. And he proceeded to tell me it wasn't him. And I knew it was him. But he lied so well. I'm like, I really want to believe this person. You know why? Because that was his native language. You know, you can hear somebody who doesn't speak Spanish try to speak Spanish and he just messes it up. Or you can hear somebody trying to speak English, but their native language is Spanish. You can kind of hear them, you know, kind of, they're mixing the language together. But somebody who actually has a native language of the adversary, guess what? They can lie like honey coming off their lips. It's just something just smoothly comes out. By the way, you know what happened to this guy? This particular guy was an officer's son, a police officer's son, which added to me wanting to believe him. But the truth was, he lived a life like that, and he ended up going to prison. Very young, very nice guy, but the adversary held him captive. He ended up going to jail. He couldn't lie his way out of jail. While he was in jail, he got abused, got raped, and caught AIDS, and died in prison in his 20s. Let me tell you something. The end of a lying spirit is not good. The end of lying is not good. We're going to find that out. In 1 John, look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're talking more about the nature of Satan. So we understand that lying is not something you just do. Lying is getting in rhythm with the nature of Satan. So when we lie, we're getting in the rhythm of what Satan. We're like harmonizing with the second heaven, if you would. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. He says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do not know it, because no lie comes from the truth. In other words, he's saying, you got yes and you got no, you got black and you got white, you got up and you got down, and you got a lie and you got truth. There's no such thing. They don't mingle together. They're the opposite of each other. But he says in verse 22, he says, who is the liar? And he goes on to say, it is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father too. And so he's sitting there saying, listen, when we get into the natural language of Satan, you know, we're actually getting into the Antichrist spirit. You know, we should actually be people of truth. We should live a life of truth. And we're going to find out, you know, what are some of the key elements that we need to grab and begin to make a part of our life that helps us to walk this out? Because in this culture, it's all about, you know, the gray area and maybe this and maybe that and that type of thing. Well, let's talk about the nature of God. Look at Numbers. I'll read Numbers to you, but go ahead and turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. In Numbers, we're going to talk about the nature of God. The nature of Satan, what? Is actually a liar. When he lies, he speaks his native language. When we lie, where we be speaking what? Satan's language. When we speak truth, what are we doing? We're speaking God's language. We're going to find out. So the nature of God. He says in Numbers 23:19 that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he would change his mind. He doesn't speak and not act. He doesn't promise and not fulfill. Isn't that awesome? That's what's so good about God. When God says this is how it is, we can bank on it. We can trust him. Why? Because God's not a liar. He does not speak Satan's language. When everything that comes out of his mouth is truth, it's solid. And Jesus said, I live out of the preceding word that comes out of the mouth of my Father, the mouth of God. And so we can bank on what God is saying. And so the enemy tries to do, when you're banking on God and you're trusting in God's word, he'll start trying to speak lies into your life to get you to believe a lie over the truth. But when you understand, wait a minute, whose language am I going to speak? Whose nature am I going to become a part of? Do I want Satan's nature in my life or do I want God's nature in my life? And he leaves that authority with us. And so he says here in Hebrews chapter 6, we understand, so God just doesn't lie. But Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, he says, when God made his promise, and he's making this promise to Abraham, he said, listen, I'm going to bless your seed, and I'm going to take care of you from generation to generation to a generation. He says, when God made this promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. In other words, he looked at everything, and he goes, you know what? I'm the only one around here who's not going to lie. He looked around and said, you know what? I can swear by myself. And he said this. He says, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received the promise. Why? Because God promised it to him. He said he was going to do it. And let me encourage you that if you've been listening to nature's language, you've been listening to what Satan is saying in the lies, it's hard for you to bank on what God says. But let me tell you something. If you'll get all those words out of your ear and you yourself get rid of a lying spirit that's trying to take you down and you begin to walk in truth, you're going to see just like Abraham did. Everything God said would happen in your life is going to happen in your life. That's what he's saying right here. And then he says in verse 16, he says, men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to an argument. There's no argument when somebody commits to it and makes an oath. When God says this is how it is, that just settles it. There's no arguments. So if you feel yourself caught up in an argument, you have an arguing spirit over what God is saying, what's happening is the natural language of Satan is trying to take over your life. Because there is no argument. If God said this is how it is, that's how it is. 17, he says, because God wanted to make sure the unchanging nature, think about this, because God wanted to make sure that the unchanging nature of his purpose was very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed in an oath. God did this so by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible, listen to this, it is impossible for God to lie. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine? You say, you know what? Every time I open my mouth, I'm just going to say what is. Think about that. Oh my goodness. But wait a minute, not necessarily so, because Jesus wasn't a liar, we're going to find out. But there's times when he remains silent. So just being truthful doesn't mean our mouth runs all the time, but it means at the proper times when we need to be able to speak the truth over a situation, we'll loose that truth over the situation. We're not running our mouths all the time about stuff. But he says, it's impossible. What's the nature of Satan? He's not only a liar, but he's the father of lies. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. In other words, if you see somebody's from America and they speak English, it'll just flow. It's no big deal. But if you see an American trying to speak Spanish or French, you'll hear some real, especially Southern Americans, you'll hear all kinds of things going on. You know. And so the truth is that was not their native language. But God's native language is what? Honesty. He's truth itself. And so he says, it's impossible for him to lie. It's impossible for him to lie. And this is one of the unchanging natures of God. Isn't that awesome? But it shows you how contradictory a lie is to him then, right? If this is if he's truth itself personified, and Satan is a lie himself personified, they don't go together. They don't, you know, dark and light don't go together, and a lie and truth don't go together. What's that mean? We have to make up our mind. Do we want to be children of the light or children of the darkness? Do we want to be children of truth or children of darkness with lies? We have to make up the church. We have to wake up. We cannot be liars. We can't. And this is grace. There's mercy. You know, we make mistakes and things happen. We're going to talk about that. But listen, you got to make up your mind. First of all, you know, I'm not going to commit the sin against God anymore. I'm not going to be a liar. And the biggest person we lie to is ourselves. And we expect everybody else to believe it. We'll get to that in a minute. Don't leave. Hang on. And so he's going to say, listen, this is his native language. This is his nature that it's impossible for God. It's not like he tells the truth. Just when he speaks, it is truth. That's how opposite a lie is to him. And you think about, look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8 here, 8:31. Since God is, his very nature is truth, and it's impossible for him to lie. Think about this. So that Jesus, when Jesus comes from truth, when Jesus comes from, you know, the nature of God, guess what? What is he? He actually is truth. Jesus is the honesty of God. When you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. What does that mean? That it's impossible. He's not going to lie. He's just not going to lie. He's going to submit and cry out to God the Father, who will save him from this. He's just going to refuse to go away any way contrary to what? Truth and honesty. He's not a liar. So he says in verse 31, he says, Jesus is talking here. He says to the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciple. In other words, not if you tell me you hold to my teachings, not if you tell everybody else you hold to my teachings. He says, if you actually are truthful and you say, this is how Jesus says do it, and this is what I do. He says, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, right? He's the truth, right? So he's being revealed to us. What happens when God's revealed to us? Truth is revealed to us. Honesty is revealed to us. The nature of God's revealed to us. It reveals the nature of Satan to us and go, you know what? That's evil and I don't want that in my life. And I really believe in this teaching right now. There's an anointing coming over this teaching that it's just this integrated lying spirit that's trying to weave its way into your family and your marriage and your relationship and your church and your ministry and your workplace. Even in this nation, it's being broken as you listen to this. And you're going to be more apt to want to say, you know what, even if I die, I'm going to speak truth over this situation. I'm going to live in truth because I want to honor God above anybody else. He says, the truth will set you free. How many people are in bondage because they just refuse to deal with a lying spirit? They refuse to get the sin of lying out of their life and compromise. You know, little lies, there's a little hell for a little lie. 33, he says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendant and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we're going to be set free? And Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. There he is. Why? He's the truth. He said, I'm telling you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family. Isn't that interesting? Because that means you're in the family, but then you're not in the family because you don't have a permanent place in the family. But we won't talk much about that. Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to what? To it forever. So if the Son sets you free, then you're free indeed. And I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for the word or the truth. He says, I am telling you what I have seen in my Father's presence, and you do what you have heard by what? Your father. What's he saying? He goes, listen, yeah, we're both listening to Father, all right, but the Father I'm following has a capital F in front of it, and the Father you're following has a small F in front of it, and one is Father God, who is truth, and the other one is Father Satan, who is the father of lies. A lot of people are going, you know, I just feel like I'm spirit-led. Let me tell you something, everybody's spirit-led. The question is, what spirit's leading you? It's like, you're feeling something, but are you following truth? Are you following a lie? And I hope this is just going to break that wide open for you. You know what? I just need to get in God's word and find out what the truth is and apply that in my life. He said, Abraham, they said, Abraham is our father, they answered. He says, if you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do all the things that Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. See what I'm saying? If I told you the truth, a man told you that I heard from God, he's going, listen, the very nature of God is truth. I'm revealing God to you. The fact that you say if you are of God, then you're excited that, as a matter of fact, if you love God, and the very thing I'm telling you right now, you're excited about what you're hearing. You know why? Because if Satan has a clamp on your life or a clamp on your family and your church, you're about to get rid of it. But if you're not of God, this is really bugging you. Because you know you're about to be confronted, and liars hate to be confronted. He says, if you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such a thing. You are doing this because your own small f father does this. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. You know, we can say what we want to say all day long. You know, I think about, you know, I'm studying about addictive behaviors and all that. And one thing he says about addictive behaviors, this particular doctor, and we'll hear more about it in the future, is don't believe what they tell you because they'll tell you anything. Believe their behavior. And we'll talk more about that. But so America, I really believe, look at Titus chapter 1. I believe America, and since the church, the American church is part of America, sad to say, it should be a counterculture, but it's ended up being a subculture. We've taken on a lot of the characteristics of the American culture, when the truth is we're a new nation, a new ethnos, we're under a new kingdom, a new king, which is Jesus, and we're supposed to be different than the world and separate than the world. And no matter what America does or what Italy does or what any other country does, we should be like Jesus, our king and our ruler. And so Paul's talking about Crete right here, and he wrote a letter to his spiritual son. And Paul is a spiritual father's apostle, and he's writing this letter to Titus. And he says in Titus chapter 1, verse 10, he says, and he's talking about a particular region. He says, for there are many rebellious people, mere talkers, talking about Crete, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. We're saying here the Jews of the circumcision group, but we could say it's the real religious people, the people who go to church all the time and, you know, and have television programs. And that's what they're saying, these real religious people who do a lot of things on the outside. Verse 11, he said, they must be silenced. Isn't that awesome? Oh. Say that with me. They must be silenced. Say that with me. They must be silenced. Say it one more time, real loud. They must be silenced. You got to understand that God's the truth. And if we're letting lies come in, guess what? It's blurring the truth. It's dimming the truth. It's causing the truth to be suppressed. Lies have got to go. They just got to go for truth to be able to proceed. We can find out, is America under judgment? Part one and part two, it talks about how darkness and sin and wickedness can suppress the truth. Well, listen, if lie is the opposite of the truth, there's no interweaving of that. The more lies, the less truth you're going to have in your life. And he said, they must be silenced because they are ruining whole households. I don't want any VFN church to be ruined because there's a lying spirit in that church. I command that lying spirit to leave now in Jesus' name. You have no place in that church, and I command you to leave it now in Jesus' name. Whole households are being ruined because of a lying spirit in that home. Let me tell you something. A lie is a lie. It has a lot of foundation to it. They create all these different things to it. But the whole thing's based on a lie. It's a lie. He said they must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things that ought not to be taught. And that for the sake of what? Dishonest gain. They're getting something out of it. Let me tell you something. The only thing that someone who should be getting things out of what we preach is Jesus. The advancement of his kingdom. We should be laying our lives down for this cause. He says, even one of their own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. And then he says, this testimony is true. When you think about it, you know, this is what most people call a lie when people lie to them. But they don't ever see variances of the very spirit in their own life. They just go, well, I just wasn't feeling good, or, you know, this happened, this came up, or, you know, that is a whole bunch of stuff we're going to talk about. The reality, a lie is a lie. A lie is a lie. Then he tells them this, how we deal with this. He says, therefore, rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in their faith. That's what this message is about. I'm saying, listen, I'm rebuking that lying spirit. I want you to be sound, sound in your confidence in truth, faith in God and what God says. And he says, and we'll pay no attention to Jewish myths and the commands for those who reject truth. But to the pure, all things are pure. But those who are corrupt and do not believe, nothing is pure for them. What happens is liars will do anything. It just doesn't matter to them. But people who love God are going to want to do what's right. You know, we make mistakes, we make errors, we have faults and things happen, but we can't sleep at night because we're going, the Holy Spirit is just, the Spirit's convicting us and saying, I got to make this right. I got to make, that's a difference in us. They said they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. So Paul explains how we're supposed to deal with this lying spirit. He says, listen, he said, we're supposed to rebuke it sharply. Now, when you see somebody in your family that's lying or somebody that's in your church or if you're you yourself, you got to deal with it. You want to deal with it. I don't want that in my life. I don't want that in my marriage. I don't want that in my family. It doesn't mean that the person who's lying is going to change, but it does know you set your ground and say, I won't have that in my life. I won't have that. So I want to talk just briefly about some lies to kind of broaden the definition of this. This is not everything, because if it's his native language, he's got all variances of lies. But let's talk about some different lies. You know, some religious lies that are out today, and some of them is very dangerous lies, because, you know, the biggest, worst lie you could have of all spoken to you and you believe is a religious lie. You know, Howard Pittman speaks about that in his book, writing about the vision that he had, the encounter that he had in heaven with God when he died on the operating table. He found out that he'd been living a lie, and a lot of people were living a lie. They've been given a placebo gospel. That's a religious lie. A religious lie says you're okay, not a big deal, everything's fine, doesn't matter what God says, and this is a religious lie. A religious lie is like this. When they say that when God's word plainly says what is right and what is wrong, but someone begins to say things like, well, that's not really what God means. And there's some people who proclaim to love Jesus, you know, they proclaim to walk with God, and God's word plainly says no. I mean, it's very clear, there's no gray area in that. And they're actually starting to say, you know, things of, you know, God, they're saying that's not what he really means. And it's like, first of all, how do you know that's not what he really means? And secondly, isn't it easier just to take him for what he said? Or they say God's changed. They say God's changed. Like, my goodness, that's a lie. I'm talking about religious lies here. Secondly, another lie is God is not the same as he used to be. When he went through some transformation from the old covenant, the Old Testament, and he was transformed into a different God, into the new covenant, the New Testament. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, God just kind of like took on a whole new character. And this is really believed, and they think that God's totally different than he was. And this is a lie, things that are religious lies. And the third is, and this is not all of them, but this is three things I'm talking about. They say they love God. They talk about, you know, God this and Jesus that, and, you know, I pray and this and that and the other. At the same time, they hate their brother. They resent their brother. That's the definition. You look up the definition of hate, it's resent and just angry and all these feelings, negative feelings towards their brother. They hate their parents. They hate their spouses. They hate their children, they hate their brothers, their sisters, they hate others. But at the same time, they sit there and say they love God. That's a religious lie. We're going to find out. Now, here's some truths about what I just said. The first truth is about the lie that says God's changed. In Revelation 22:18, he says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, the book of Revelation, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. You can't change God, first of all, but you can lie and change people's perception of God and cause them to end up in hell like you're going to end up in if you keep on lying to people like that. He says, the same plagues are going to be on anybody who adds to this word. In other words, don't be changing what God's saying. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. He doesn't change. That's why Jesus, all the justice of God, you know, when you think about the Lord and God and what he did, because he doesn't change, he had to have a holy sacrifice, which was his son. He so didn't change that Jesus had to take the full blow for all mankind and our sin. That's how much he doesn't change. But this, he's the same God as he always was. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Numbers 23:19 says, God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. He doesn't change. And finally, 1 John 4:20, which deals with the issue of saying, you know, I hate these people, but I love God. It's amazing how many people want to do God a favor and get into ministry or do something, but they cannot stand God's people. It's like, you don't need to be, you stay away, whatever spirit you're of, lying spirit you're of. He says in 1 John 4:20, he says, if anyone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, he's a liar. What does that mean? That means Satan's got a hold of that person, right? It means they're speaking the native language, what? Of Satan. Their father is Satan. Their father is not capital F God. So he said, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he hasn't seen. We're creating the image and the likeness of God. I mean, if you cannot love what God saved, come on now, think about it. How are you going to love God who is holy and loves the person that you're hating? How can you do that? Satan's got a hold of you. If you think you can lie and join up the choir of second heaven of Satan, and you think you can speak his native language towards somebody that God created, and all of a sudden you're going to have this awesome spiritual life with God. Yeah, you're having a spiritual life, all right, but that's not with God if you're filled with lies. You see what I'm saying? So some religious lies. God has not changed. So when you hear things being said over your television, over your radio, in your community, or in your church, you go back and you look in the Word of God and make sure God's Word, even what I'm saying, go back and look at what God's Word says and make sure it lines up with the truth. You see what I'm saying? Everybody. And if somebody ventured off God's Word, you need to say, whoa, ho, 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 that is a lie. And I'm not going to be a part of that. So that's some religious lies. Some of the family lies are, you know, three aspects of the family are fathers are optional, mothers are tolerated, and children are dispensable. These are three specific families of the lie. Fathers are optional, mothers are tolerable, and children are dispensable. Those are lies. It's the family. God created that family, and we have function as a family. It says that the husband is the head of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church, and the wife shall submit to the husband as unto the Lord, and the parents are over the children, and the children shall submit to their parents as unto the Lord. That's the truth. Anything other than that is a lie. You know the reason why everything's falling apart right now in many, many marriages in the church? Because the church is living a lie. They're thinking that they can operate outside the ways of God, moving in the language of Satan and thinking that it's going to be a godly marriage, a truthful marriage, when actually it's a lying marriage because it's out of order. But it's a lie. It's a lie of Satan. You know, fathers and husbands lying to their wives and children, destroying the sense of safety and trustworthiness of a father in their lives, where all of a sudden they're beginning to transfer that concept of father to God because of the dangers of how you're partnering with Satan to speak his language over your family. You know, wives lying to their husbands, destroying their own husband's ability to hear from God. All these little casual lies like, well, you know, I'm not feeling good, or, you know, something's wrong. No, you just don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. You got to say, I don't want to do it. It's better for you to say, I don't want to do it, than to lie to your husband, because eventually he's going to stop believing the voice of the Lord, and you're going to destroy your very own covering, because now he's not confident anymore in God. He's thinking, I must have missed God, because I felt like God was saying this in my family situation, but now my wife's saying something different. But you got a lying spirit if you're doing that, because if you heard from God, you should have said, you're right. This is God. And you encourage him by saying, you know what? You are hearing from God. This is right. That is in my life. It's like children. Children, if you're lying to your parents, you're destroying your ability, your parents' ability to hear from God for you. You're destroying your own covering. If the Lord shows them that you're doing something wrong that's not right, and they say, listen, the Lord has shown me that you're doing this and this and this, and you go, that's not true. That didn't happen. And it did happen. You only destroyed your own covering and your own protection. Your parents may stop believing what they heard was from God because you allowed Satan to come in and begin to tell them a lie. And all of a sudden they're starting to doubt the voice of God. And guess what? The whole Satan has a field day on your family because you brought a lying spirit into your family. It's your covering. Why do you want to mess up your parents' ability to hear from God? Why do you want to do that? The Lord loves you, and the Lord's going to protect you and keep you safe. But if your parents hear clearly from God, and they come to you time and time again, and you tell your parents, no, that didn't happen, and you're lying. No, that didn't happen, and you're lying. That's a lying spirit. And let me tell you, all liars will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur, he says. We cannot do that. And it's destroying truth. It's bringing truth out of your own life. And your parents are going to stop speaking truth to you. Your husband's going to stop speaking truth to you. Why? Because all of a sudden they start doubting it, and they no longer deliver it, or they realize you're not hearing anymore. And what's the use of speaking truth to somebody who walks in lies? It's a lying spirit. And we're going to talk about it. It lines up with every other sin that you say, oh, that's a terrible sin, but this is not a sin, terrible sin. If it sends you to hell, it's bad. There's only one hell in one place. You know, blaming other things and others and distracting and trying to, because you don't want to go out and just go no, or you don't want to go yes, so you come up with all these other excuses. Those are lies. They're lies. You cannot lie. You got to be able to confront things. Not being available for your spouse or your children or others. You're literally, but you're saying you're blaming other people for not being able to be available for them. This is a lie. You know, you got to confront the two sins. One, if that is your authority talking to you, you're in rebellion against your authority. And secondly, now you're in rebellion and you're lying about it. And you're thinking it's only men that are concerned, but it's you that are going to suffer the consequences, internal hell, for living a life of sin continually before God, going, I'm still going to lie. You think, well, you know what? I know if I was lived in adultery every day, and I never repented for it, and I just lived in adultery, I know the Lord comes back or I die, I'm going to go to hell. Oh, that's pretty, you know, people, I got that. Well, guess what? Adultery is right next to liar. Think about it when he talks about going to hell. We cannot live in conscious sin and not repent of it and think that the consequences for us is not going to be the same for everybody else. That's a lie. That's a religious lie. Some financial lies. You think about some of the financial lies that are out. One to do with tithes and offerings. You know, some of the lies are out there that says not giving God the first 10% of the tithe of your increase. His tithes and offerings really don't affect my relationship with God, and he doesn't take it personally. It's something that's optional. Besides, it's my talents and my strength and abilities that allowed me to get this money, so he understands. That's a huge lie. 3% of the church actually even does that, according to George Barner's statistics. And the lie is like, no big deal. It's like, my goodness. What is God's word? Is that a lie? Am I believing a lie? Am I believing a lie? Another is business practices. And this is a big one. The business practices of people that have a fish on their sign, but they ain't got one in their heart. You go do business with this man, this woman who calls himself a Christian. They got the fish everywhere. You know, the fish is a sign for Christianity, supposedly. And all of a sudden, you go there and go, I think I just got royally messed over by a Christian. When the reality, I should have went to the person who had a fish on their sign as a Christian, be willing to actually pay them more for their product. Or they should have been careful about how they did business with me as a Christian. But instead, it was used as a ploy. Think about the business practices. This is the lie. Business is business. It's just business. God really doesn't matter how it's done. He just expects us to make a living the best way we can. It's the deal that matters. Look at this great deal I got. It reminds me of a Christian that was selling another Christian a truck. And it's embarrassing. If it's embarrassing to me, a flawed vessel, I know that God's going to be going, what the heck's going on? And so this Christian says, I want you to buy my truck. Oh, yeah, you got to buy my truck. And so he gets in the truck, and he drives the truck all the way up to a couple blocks up the street to the store. And this truck was blowing so much smoke, you couldn't even see the store it was parked at. And the Christian who was selling the truck didn't even show any knowledge of having any issues with it. I'm like, and so the other Christian goes, because you know, you just let the person off easy and said, I don't think I'm going to buy your truck. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how could you do that to your brother? Why would you? You're a liar. That's a lying spirit. Business is not just business with God. We're going to find out about that. But the churches believe business is business. Payroll. Think about that. Payroll. You own a business and you're the one that pays your employees. This is actually what a lie about payroll. Financial lies. God's not concerned about how much I pay those who work for me. It's not a big deal. He doesn't care that I'm stacking up money for myself and not paying those that work for me. It's not a big deal. That's a big American thing. Bottom line, squeeze the employees to build the house bigger, to get more vacation homes and all that. And people, oh, look at that person. And they go, that's not a big deal. Business is business. And the last lie, and there's a lot of other ones, but in finances, is bills and taxes. When the lie is, God doesn't care if we pay our bills or pay what we promised someone to pay them. He doesn't care. He especially doesn't care if we pay taxes. Man, is that in the church? You hear that lying spirit going, like, people trying to get out of paying taxes, and they just, that's what they believe to be true. We'll see what the lies, the truth over the situation is. The first truth, remember, tithes and offerings, God doesn't really matter. It's not a big issue. If you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. 3% actually do. Well, this is what he says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, about the truth about tithes and offerings. Verse 6 in reading, he says, I, the Lord, do not change. Oh, my goodness. There it is again. What's that mean? He hasn't changed. So exactly how he feels here in Malachi is exactly how he feels in Revelation, right? He says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O disobedient Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord, O God Almighty. But you ask, how do I return? Will a man rob God? Oh my goodness. Have you been robbing God? God, I'm sure you've changed. I haven't been like tapping the till. Think about it. Robbing from God. Or do you want to believe a lie and take the risk at the throne room of God? It's your choice. He said, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you, God? I'm not robbing you. He said, in tithes and offerings. He says, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Oh my goodness. Did Satan lie to you and said that you're not robbing God and it's not a big deal for tithes and offerings? That's between you and God and his throne room and his judgment seat. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this and see the Lord Almighty, and see that if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. I'll prevent you from losing your job, he's saying. And the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be my delight, will be the delight in the land, says the Lord God Almighty. So isn't that contradictory towards the lie that says God doesn't really matter about that? And the first thing he says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 is the very nature he is, what? He doesn't change, he doesn't lie, right? So he says, I'm letting you know, this is how I am. He's telling us what the truth, right? The truth comes out. And it's like, okay, am I living the truth or am I living a lie? So the financial truth about tithes and offerings is that they're God's and they're not ours, and for us to keep them would be a robber. We would rob God. That's the truth. Okay, Lord, I don't want to rob you. I don't want to do that, God. Isn't that awesome? When you think about, oh my goodness, I'm going to give you the first fruits of my labors. Because it's all His. We're just honoring Him. There's some teachings on that you can find in the VFN teachings. You want to know more about that. Then he talks about, you know, where the lies is besides, you know, it's my strength, my abilities, and my talents. They got this money anyway, and I don't need to be giving nothing to God. If I do, it's cool. If I don't, it's cool. Well, that's not necessarily true. We found out it's robbing God. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It's actually God that gives us the ability to get wealth. He says in 18, he says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers. You see, you know, there's people in nations that don't have soil like the American soil, and they can farm it all they want to, but it will produce nothing. They have water in different places, like America has water, but their water is poisoned and toxic. And our water, we could drink from the streams. That's called being blessed by God. But you know what? Overnight, we could lose this blessing for robbing from God. That's what I'm saying. So Satan wants us to actually believe a lie and turn away from God and follow the small f father of lies instead of follow Father God, the one of truth. And he wants to see us with our soul not produced. And Satan wants to see us with our soul not producing, our waters being poisoned, and the food of abundance America has to no longer be anymore. It's God. He's the one that brings us rain. He's the one that confirms His covenant by giving us the ability to produce. Yeah, we can stick a seed in the soil, but it's only God's going to cause it to grow. If we water all day long and put seed in the ground all day long without God, we just got a mud puddle. But God causes it to produce. Yeah, you show up at your work, but you know what? They could fire you tomorrow if God wanted that to happen, if He took His hand off of you. Honor Him. Begin to move in truth in that area. Okay, business. Remember, the business is business, the practices. Is God really concerned about how we do business? When you think about it, when you go to the produce aisles in the shopping center, they have a big scale there, and you put your bananas in the scale, and the scale says this is how many pounds of banana, or how many pounds of apples, or how many pounds of, you know, whatever you're buying. And everything used to be off measures. You know, you'd put your wheat up there, and you buy this much pounds of wheat, but it wasn't pounds, but the same, we speak pounds and ounces and all. And so the scale was very important, you know, and there was a time where the gas pumps, for example, when it's like $1 a gallon, for example, but the people who owned the gas stations went and kind of messed with the pumps so that it actually charged people like $1.25 a gallon, but they didn't know it would only show $1 a gallon, but the end total was bigger. What they did was they messed with the scales. Imagine if you put your bananas on a scale and you put a pound of bananas on, but they actually changed it on you. You know what I'm saying? And they made a half a pound of bananas look like a whole pound of bananas. And when they did that, they deceived you in thinking you were buying a pound when you're really buying a half a pound, but you pay the full pound price. This is important because right now the economy is hitting hard times and we're seeing people change their packaging. You're seeing people put salads in people's front of their plates at tables and restaurants. But you're looking at things change. The sizes of things are changing. They're changing the containers to kind of push the bottom of the container in to make it still look full. But if you turn it upside down, it's nothing but air in there. They're changing the size of their boxes, but they're changing the same prices. That's called being dishonest. Instead of being forthright, say, listen, it costs more for this, so we're going to charge more for this. They're going to give us the impression that it hasn't changed. But we're saying business, they're saying business is business. And the church says this. Christians say this. And this is what God says about that dishonest scales. Proverbs 11:1, He says, the Lord abhors dishonest scales. He hates dishonest scales. The accurate weights, He delights in. When you buy a pound of bananas and you own a store, you make sure that scale, every day you adjust that scale to, you zero it out, you make sure it works, you put a pound weight in there. Why? Because God's watching you. He's going, you know what? God cares about this scale. I'm not going to just let my gas pumps run. I'm going to make sure my gas pumps, I'm going to test it out. I'm going to put a gallon and make sure it says a gallon on the pump and it filled a gallon worth of gas. Why? Because God delights in the fact that I have honest scales. God watches how we do business. He's into how we, I know that the lie over America and the lie over the church, it doesn't matter how business is done. God's into your scale adjustments. He's into your scale adjustments. Think about that. That's into your business. Amos chapter 8, verse 4. He says, hear this, you who trample the needy. Think about that. Business, right? Sorry about that. You know, I think about in my own city that there was a low-income housing area that was in the heart of the city, and they wanted to build nicer homes and, you know, fancy stuff there. And so what they did was they relocated the people in that area, and they built these nicer homes. And so I don't even know how they what they did. They said they put them somewhere else. But when I would go by there, the fear of the Lord comes over me. I think, oh my goodness, have we been unjust? Have we said that the needy people don't need to be in front of us? Think about it. God cares about that. Business is not just business. If your house was built, you know it was built, and you were a part of making sure it was built on the ground of needy people, and their house was torn down so your house could be built, your mansion could be built on that, God is into that, and He sees that. He's into business. Don't believe the lie. He's into that. Hear this, He says, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor in the land. Right now, a big issue in the land is a lot of people are beginning to get on the streets and they're beginning to ask for money, and they say, they held signs up that says, I will work for food. Don't be doing away with them. Begin to figure out how you can bring justice to that situation. Begin to pray, Lord, how can I be there for this person? Because if you're going to try to sweep them off your streets so you can have streets without people who need something asking you for something, that's a lie. You think God's going to be pleased with that. That's not just business. He says, saying this, when they're doing away with the needy in the land, he says, when the new moon, he says, when will the new moon, which is a feast that we're having, be over, so we can sell grain? And this is what's going on. A feast is going, it's a new moon feast. They're at church. You know, they're going on a gathering that's lasting a little time. They're thinking, man, I can't wait till this is over because I want to get out there and do business. I want to do business. And they're going, listen, when can this thing be over? I want to be able to go out there and begin to sell grain. I can't wait till the Sabbath is over. You know, this time is over. So I get into the marketplace to do wheat. How many Christians believe the lie that God does not see that? And they think work, business is more important than their worship to God. And they don't even worship God, or they cut their worship short because they're running to the workplace. That's a lie. It's a lie. He says it right here in Amos. He says, skimping on the measure. That's the scale thing, right? Boasting or boosting the prices. Skimping on the measure, boosting. Stay with me for a second. Stay with me. Listen to me. Skimping on the measure. In other words, don't give them what they, if they ask for two boards, you give them two boards. If they ask for 20 boards, you give them 20 boards. If they ask for 10 bananas, you give them 10 bananas. If you told them that you would cut their yard, you cut every part of their yard. You see what I'm saying? You do the whole thing. If you said, I'll clean your house for this amount of money, don't clean, go ahead and clean their whole house because you're doing it unto the Lord. He says, skimping on measures, boosting the prices up. If you're taking advantage and all of a sudden you just boost your prices up, God sees that. He sees that. And cheating with dishonest scales, he says, verse 6, buying the poor with silver or the needy with a pair of sandals. You know, I was talking to a man on our streets, and he's an electrician, but he lost his job, so he's out in the street saying, I'll work, and he had like all the tools to be able to go do lawn work, and somebody picked him up and took him to their house and said, listen, cut my yard for free. And that didn't even make sense, but they were taking advantage of this needy man. That's what they were doing. Think about that. He said, listen, you can't do that. Business is not just business. You can't buy somebody out. You treat everybody the same. You treat them well. He says, buying the poor with silver and the needy with a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings of the wheat. Well, God says we're supposed to leave a remnant of the wheat for the poor so they can come in and kind of come around the edge of the field and pick things up. They're sweeping everything up. They're not letting anybody have anything in their life. God sees all this. He says, the Lord has sworn by the pride of Israel, I will never forget anything that they have done. Think about it. And then he goes, will not the land, will not America tremble for this? Will not the land tremble for this and all who live in it mourn? You know, there's so many mixed messages going on right now with different political parties. Listen, you know, Jesus is not a Republican and he's not a Democrat and he's not an independent. He's not a conservative. He's God. You have to understand this. And I don't care who they are. If they're not operating, if they're saying business is business, even capitalism, if capitalism moves us outside the ways of God as Christians, we go, you know, that's what you want to do. That's what you're going to do. But as for me, I'm going to make sure people are taken care of. I am not going to live my life knowing that this person is not taken care of. Why? Because that would be a lie. I'd be believing a lie. And Isaiah, listen, this is the clincher. Isaiah chapter 3, you don't have to turn there. Verse 14 and 15 says this, God sees the plunder of the poor in your houses. You're thinking, man, I got a great deal here. I got a great deal. Look what I got. And you point out all this stuff you have in your home. And God says, I know where that came from. I know who got hurt over that. I know who had to sell their car because that was taken from them. He knows everything. You think the barcode system is something? You think the internet is something and Google something? Let me tell you about God. He sees the plunder of the poor in your house. I don't care if it's in a hidden closet back in your bedroom somewhere. If you got it unjustly, God sees it in your home. And he also says the crushing of his people, he sees that, and grinding the faces of the poor. Listen, I know America's got this culture and it's the American culture, but there's another counterculture called God's culture. And God's culture is contrary to this world's culture. Nations have risen and nations have fallen, but God's kingdom is forever. And don't fall to the lie that God's an American. God is God. God loves Italians. God loves Chinese. God loves the Japanese. God loves the Arabs. God loves the Hebrews. God loves Americans. God loves us all. And there's this mindset, and it's like, no, don't mix those two together if they don't follow God's ways. Just telling you about the lies. So business is not just business. How you do business, you know, if you're collecting money without paying taxes on it because you're taking cash deals, you need to think about that. You need to think about that because God's eyes are on you. Payroll. Payroll, remember the lie about payroll? It doesn't matter how you're paying your employees. Well, the truth is James chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. He says, your gold and your silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like what? Like fire. You can't hoard stuff for you while you know your brother's in need. I know it's America. I know that's the mindset, this culture. But that's not supposed to be your mindset. That's a lie. God cares about that. You got to really think about what you're doing and why you're doing it and hear from God. Because he says right here, he says, listen, he says, you have hoarded wealth in the last days and look. He says, look what you've done. He says, that hoarding is going to come against you. He says, the wages you failed to pay your workers who mow your field are crying out against you. You're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I've been cutting this man's field. I've been building his widgets and doing this stuff. And my boss is living in some mansion and he's going on all these vacations and these whatevers, you know, and you can barely make your payments and you're trying to work your way through. You're managing your money well. It's not because you made bad decisions, but you can barely make it through. And you're thinking, does God see this? And the lie of the land of second heaven, when Satan speaks, he would go, God does not care about this. God is blessing this businessman or businesswoman. That's why they're doing so well. It's the blessings of God on them. But God would say this. God would say, he's a liar. That the wages he could pay you that he doesn't pay you is crying out against him. And the hoarding that he's done in his life will literally, as he says, eat his flesh or her flesh like fire. So it looks like the political parties, they all have something right, don't they? They got a little piece of truth. But let me tell you who's got the whole truth. God. So don't think politics is your answer because that's a lie. And finally, the last one is bills and taxes. It doesn't matter if you pay your bills or not. It doesn't matter if you pay your taxes. Well, what does God's word say? Romans chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. He says, give everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, guess what? Pay taxes. How do you think the police officer goes through your streets at night? How do you think that the food that you take by at the grocery store, that you can eat it and know that you're not necessarily going to die from it? How do you know that our soldiers that are out there defending us in Iraq and Afghanistan and the foreign lands, how do you think they get paid? All these congressmen that are there fighting and toiling over what law should be passed and what shouldn't be passed, how do you think they get paid? How do you think your governor stays in office or your state legislature or your school board? It's because of taxes. And he says in Romans chapter 13, he said, they're God's servants. He said, just pay your taxes. How they get paid. I mean, if you don't owe the tax, you don't owe it. I mean, you may have to find you an account to figure all that out, but whatever you find out you owe, pay it. Why? Because he says at the very end, he says, so your conscience will be clear. You don't want to be lying with that kind of stuff. And he says, if revenue, pay revenue. If respect, then respect. And if honor, pay honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt of love. In other words, you can never pay love off. Love is always owed. You know, there's one big issue right now. We have a lot of people in America right now that, you know, sometimes you commit to a relationship. You say, you know, we're going to be married forever. But 50% of marriages are ending in divorce. At some point, that it was impossible for them to commit, possibly keep that commitment where one of them didn't want to be married anymore, or both of them didn't want to be married. But you could actually want to be a person of your word and a person of integrity. You committed to that, but the circumstances changed and it was beyond your control. And it just, even though your desire was to be together forever, it just didn't happen. God doesn't call you a liar. He sees the intention of your heart. Your intention of your heart was, that's what you wanted to happen. But you're not in control of the economy. You're not in control of the situation. But you're entering into everything, understanding that I mean what I say and I say what I mean. You're being truthful with it. You're not thinking, oh, I'm saying this, but I got to out right here. I got a prenuptial agreement, for example, using marriage. Prenuptial agreement in case this thing don't work out, this is going to happen. You know what I'm saying? That's not a truthful person. That's a liar. They're not really committing to that marriage. And the same thing in regards to when you're buying properties and when you're taking loans out and you're getting credit cards, you need to be able to have the intention. You know what? I'm going to make sure I pay this thing. I'm going to pay this thing off. But you know, right now people are losing their houses. You know, the Wall Street Journal just said yesterday that over 200 churches are filing foreclosure and they're losing their church buildings, which is actually a prophecy that God gave me. And they said it's just the beginning of the next wave. A lot of church buildings will be lost and what's happening. But the church is not lost. It's just buildings. So it's not the church is, as long as they know they're the church. But sometimes situations happen where you have business partners or something comes through that your intentions was to be able to do this, but your ability to do it, you know, you weren't able to follow through with it. It doesn't mean that you're a liar. It just means like you came to the end of yourself and you could not follow through with it. So the lies begin to step up a notch in the area of financial integrity. Because if you don't, you'll end up in the same boat. And everything in America is just from every angle. I mean, if you're in debt, you don't need credit cards. You know you can't pay. You don't need to get another credit card in. You don't need taking a car loan out. You don't need a brand new car when you can't even afford the car you have. Right? Because God cares how we do business. He cares that we paid our bills. He cares that we pay our taxes. We have tax season coming up every single year. You should actually thoroughly figure out how much tax that you owe and you should pay your taxes. It's a good word, huh? Where do liars go? Thank you. So you see, as we're coming to the end of part one here, that it's just to live a life that's transparent and a life of truth, that there's much turmoil in the life like that because you've got to constantly check yourself. You've got to constantly seek the Lord. And we're going to find out more in part two right here. But I just want to let you know that it's not necessarily always an easy road, but you want to be able to lay things out. And it says, all authority is established by God. And those who resist it or rebel against what God's established, and realize that, you know, authority is there to help us out. And there's times sometimes we got to be able to come out and just say, I am stuck. You know, I've got myself in this place. This particular thing happened. You know, I wish it wouldn't. And then they make a judgment over those type of things. And God will come in sometimes and just rescue us from bad decisions. Sometimes he'll bring us to a new place. But either way, he will direct us every step of the way if we say, Lord, I want to live an honest life. We're going to find out more about this, but let's just close in prayer on this first part here. Father God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will just give those who are hearing these teachings, Father God, the wisdom and the ability to walk in a life that's transparent, a life that is honest and truthful before you, Lord God, and there be no native language of the adversary in their life, Father God, but they be known for truth, Father God, and that, Lord, in this next part of the teaching, just prepare everybody's heart to be ready to hear and to listen, God, what you're doing, because I really truly believe that those that are hearing this teaching, there's going to be a rough time coming, and we need to be able to hear what you're saying and what we need to do to be able to walk continually as people of truth into that situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you haven't yet met Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to Him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to vfntv.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to vfntv.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from His Word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord and to activate you in your destiny with God that He's called you to. For more information, go to vfntv.com. VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.